The West African nation of Mali is well known for its spectacular art and musical traditions, as well as its famed historical city of Timbuktu. And until March of last year, it was also known as the most stable democracy in all of Africa. That image was shattered, however, when a military coup threw the country into chaos, leading to the displacement of nearly a half million people, a surge in Islamic rebel fighters in the north, and an influx of French troops and UN peacekeepers. MSU is one of the few universities in the country that maintains a study abroad program in Mali. The person largely responsible for that is Stephen Esquith. He's the dean of the Residential College in the Arts and Humanities, and he joins me now to discuss what's happening in this culturally rich West African country. Welcome to Current State, Stephen.
Thank you, Mark.
Let's start by looking at Mali as a historically significant place in the world. Where is it geographically, and what made it important?
Mm-hmm. Well, you did a nice job leading into this.
Thank you.
I'll just add a little bit more. If people know anything about Mali, they know Timbuktu.
Yeah.
That's a center of Islamic learning from the 12th, 13th century to the 17th century. Many manuscripts were collected there. Many religious leaders had their home there. It was a kind of Mecca for religious scholars and other intellectuals of that period. So Timbuktu was the anchor and really the center of the Malian Empire and the civilizations that grew from that between those over those four centuries. After that, Mali sort of expanded its fame, again drawing on art and culture and many of the sort of fine arts that now we associate with Malian society, its fabric arts, what people know as mudcloth or bogolan, its music, which influenced American blues, and some of its architecture. Those are things that we know, you know, of Mali in its history. It was also a crossroads for many cultures, both north-south and east-west. The east-west trading routes along the Niger River and the north-south trade of salt and other fine arts and products that went from North Africa to South Africa. It's about the size of Texas and California combined. It has perhaps a population of only 14 million or so, and in terms of its economy, it's a struggling economy. As you said, it was a very well-known stable democracy since democratic politics were instituted in 1991, but underneath the surface there were deep problems which have now come to the surface since the coup in March of 2012.
Yeah, that's just a year and a half or less than a year and a half ago. Briefly, what led to the coup?
Uh-huh. Well, people like to say it was both unexpected and complex, and I think both things are true. What led to the coup was sort of a combination of factors. There was great dissatisfaction among lower-ranking military officers who had been sent to the north to deal with some of the conflicts that were beginning to bubble up. They didn't have the supplies. They didn't have the support that they needed. There was a growing dissatisfaction among ethnic groups in the north, often referred to as the Tuareg, who felt that since 1991 they really hadn't benefited in the same way that other groups in Mali had benefited. There was a group of Malians who had worked in Libya, and after the coup in Libya returned to Mali, unemployed but well-armed, and throwing their support to the northern separatists, the Tuaregs, created a potent combination of dissatisfaction. Add to that greater interest by Al-Qaeda and other radical Islamist groups in the region who saw the vacuum, the political vacuum, and the military weakness in northern Mali as an opportunity to establish a stronghold, increase their revenues through narcotics trading and arms trading in the north. With all of that happening, the French looked across the Mediterranean and said, this is not a healthy situation for Western Europe and for French interests. and we think we need to do something, and the UN needs to do something.
And they have since settled down this rather unstable situation.
Yeah, I think that's true. Settled down is a good way to describe it. It's not over. There still are many folks dissatisfied in the north, and French and Belgian and other UN peacekeeping troops are still there holding sort of things together. But we're not out of the woods, if we can use that metaphor in a mostly desert climate. We're not out of the woods quite yet. But things are moving in the right direction. And
an election is coming up.
And an election, very good. An election is coming up. July 28th is the scheduled election, and that'll be the first round. And Mali, like many countries, if there's no majority winner in the election, this is a presidential election, there would be a second runoff election in August around the 11th. But the election is not something that everybody thinks Mali is technically prepared for. They have to issue identification cards to many people who haven't had them. In the last two elections, there was some dissatisfaction. And Mali, unfortunately, is well known for its low voter turnout. And low voter turnout in this election might cast some doubt about the legitimacy of the elected government.
So it's unclear whether an election will lead to greater reconciliation or not?
Yeah, perfect question. And so the interim government right now has tried to put together, at the same time that they're organizing for the election, something that they call the National Commission for Dialogue and Reconciliation. Mali has a history of being a country in which dialogue and conversation and sort of collegial relationships between ethnic groups has generally held true, and they would like to see a reconciliation process occur, but they know they have to build it from the ground up. It can't simply be established as a national board that holds hearings and announces, you know, amnesty for certain groups. There has to be a longer process of discussion, conversation in regional dialogue forums. So they're moving to institute not just a national commission, but regional and local, at the commune level, it's called in Mali, conversations to deal with grievances and concerns about what crimes were committed during and after the coup.
Talk to us about Michigan State's activities in Mali then. How has all of this instability impacted student exchanges?
Good. Michigan State has been in Mali for 30 years now. The primary focus of the Michigan State efforts in Mali has been in the area of food security. So the College of Agriculture and Natural Resources has been working closely with USAID and Malian partners to help institute reforms within agriculture. In addition, Michigan State's been involved in a project called the Afrobarometer, which through the Political Science Department here. So those are long-standing commitments, and they continue in Mali and have continued even through this period of instability.
They have?
Yeah.
Okay.
My own work, as you mentioned early on, has been through a study abroad program, which we created in 2004 in the Residential College in the Arts and Humanities. And we traveled to Mali four or five times during that time, taking about 20 students, working on civic engagement projects in Mali, in the arts and in education. In 2012, we had 17 students ready to go. We were about to purchase their visas, and we had to postpone the project because of the coup. I just returned from a trip to Mali after being away for a year, and I'm encouraged. I think we'll be back. The elections, of course, have to happen, but we're going back.
You bring Mali to Michigan State, though, as well. We do more than just send students to Mali.
Correct.
It works in reverse as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, correct. We've had several exchange programs with Malian students and intellectuals who've been in the residential college over the last 4 years, religious leaders, as well as artists and academics. We've had artists in residence, mudcloth artists, musicians, rappers, photographers. The richness of Malian culture continues to affect Michigan State through these exchange programs, and that's another part of the the project that we want to reinvigorate. And we have Mali and partners who are eager to host our students and our faculty and to share their traditions with us here.
Stephen Esquith is the Dean of Michigan State University's Residential College in the Arts and Humanities. His work and teaching focus on the West African nation of Mali. Thanks for joining us today, Stephen.
My pleasure.